Okay, we'll discuss a little bit the sedges here. I mean, I think we can't resist discussing the past few sedges, unbelievable sedges in terms of psychology and if you look into the sedge a little more deeply, you really see what's going on beneath the surface. There is written in a way that a person can just look at it like a simple story, or a person can really look into it and see what's going on beneath the surface of the story that the tarot gives. An interesting thing, but the Parshas Miketz, let's talk about different points over here. Parshas Miketz, when Yosef meets Paro, so his first introduction to Paro is interesting. He says that, interesting thing, but in general, there's a Rambam that says that that Avraham Avinu had many, many followers. Avraham Avinu had hundreds of followers. So, an interesting thing. But the Rav wants to ask, how does Rambam know this? How does Rambam know this? But if you look at how does Rambam know that that Avraham Avinu had hundreds of followers? Many, many followers. I think from the Pesukim maybe but he says that there were hundreds, there was a big following, it wasn't just like a few people. So you have in the Torah a few places, like it says when Yosef was introduced, it says Hashem Yitana Na'ar Ivri. So Rashi says Afilu L'shinein and Amakir. And then later when they ate together, it says they ate separately. Ki lo yuchlin or Ivrim lechol, yuchlin mitzvim lechol tse Ivrim lech. So Ivrim and Mitzrayim. So what, if there's just one family, what's the, what is lo yuchlin or Ivrim lechol tse mitzvim? Apparently, you see, it was more than just a small group, but it was known already. It was a known group that existed. A known group in the world. Okay. At any rate, when Yosef first becomes introduced, so it says that, It says, What does Bilodoy mean? What kind of a statement is that? He called him in to explain the dream. It's in Miketz. It's in Memalach Pasuk Tezayin. So Bilodoy. What does it mean? Bilodoy means it's not me. It's not me. Okay, but then the next statement is, sounds like an Evis. It's not me. The next statement he says, "Only Kinyan Eshlam Par." Kinyan Eshlam Par means God will give the answer. I mean, how do you, all right, very nice, but how is God going to give the answer? He's going to give the answer through me, he's saying. Right? I mean, so Bilodoy sounds like the biggest Anivis. But the very next statement, "Only Kinyan Eshlam Par," is the biggest Gaiva. The person says that I have direct connection to the Baruch Hu. So, what kind of an Anivus is that?
Anybody who had that kind of connection, that's the kind of people they were. I mean, Moshe, did you ever come off like, hey, look who I am? And any of the people who had that kind of connection, they were all, that was their makeup.
But then it's not an Anivus anymore. You're saying that I have a direct line to Kadosh Baruch Hu? You know what I mean? He's saying I have a direct line to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Bilodoy? So it's not Bilodoy anymore. It's not Bilodoy means it's not just me, anybody. Bilodai means there's nothing special about me. But then he says in the very same statement that I'm the one that's going to convey God's message. So it makes him a very special person. You're the only one that can convey God's message. It would seem that that would give the person a very special status. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bilodai, Eina Chochma Mishalei. Rashi was sensitive to the problem. Eina Chochma Mishalei. Elo Elokin Yane Yitain Aniya Befi L'Shlom Paro. So what's the what does it mean? What does it mean? Elokin Yane Yitain Aniya Befi L'Shlom Paro. It means, see, to my, I think it means like this. Bilodai, first of all, what does it mean, Eina Chochma Mishalei? What do you see from this Rashi? It's an interesting thing you see from this Rashi. Eina Chochma Mishalei. It shows you something interesting about the whole concept of the Pisron Chalamos, of interpreting the Chalamos. An interesting thing. What does it show you, Yossi? Okay, but what does it show you? It shows you one thing. It shows you that interpreting a halom, interpreting a prophetic halom, is pure chokhmah. That's what it shows. That there was no, the interpretation of the halom wasn't done through any kind of nevuah. But it means to say that it was pure chokhmah, which means to say that a person that reaches a certain level of knowledge is able to accomplish two things. First of all, he's able to discern between a chalom, which is a psychological phenomenon, and secondly, and between a chalom that is not a psychological phenomenon, but is a prophetic phenomenon. That's that's the first thing he can do. And the second thing you see he's capable of doing is that he's capable through chokhmah of explaining, interpreting the prophetic chalom. Just like a person is capable through chokhmah of interpreting a psychological halal. Yes. Four, yeah. Right. Yeah, in general. And the Nevi'im that received Nevuah through Maria Chalom, they had to interpret the Chalom. The interpretation of the Chalom took place through chokhmah. That means the person was on the proper level of chokhmah. So then it means that that means he'd be able to understand how to interpret this chalom. So Yosef was the chacham that knew, understood chalamos. He knew the difference between a psychological dream and between a prophetic dream, and he was able with his chachma, simply chachma, to interpret the prophetic chalom. Yeah. So now you understand what he said to Paro. He said to Paro, Bilodai. It's not me. Eina chokhmah mishalei. Eina chokhmah mishalei. It means to say like this. He means to say two things. First of all, he was, it says, the pasuk says, Ein poser osam lafaro. Nobody could explain the dream to Paro. So, Chazal say, why the extra word, Ein poser osam lafaro? Ein poser osam. So he says, Rashi, poser hoyu osam, avalo lafaro. Okay. What's the difference? I mean, right, the Chazal just touch the surface. They just give you this, they give you the direction. But what are Chazal saying, really? Chazal is saying that Yosef's approach was a completely different approach. He taught Paro a whole different philosophy, a whole different approach. He said to Paro like this, that you're looking for a person who has some magical powers, some mystical powers that's capable of interpreting the halom. And that's the way all primitive people are. Primitive people, why do they go to these different people? They go to mediums, to different necromancers, soothsayers. Why do they go to these people? Because they think that these people are endowed with special powers. That's the primitive mind. That's what the primitive mind looks for. Looking for somebody that has supernatural, is endowed with supernatural powers. And that's really, that's a primitive idea, an idea of Avodah Zarah. And that's why, I mean, that's really the basis of Christianity, of Yeshu. Make him into, why do they have to deify him? Because they're looking for a person with special powers. Special powers. It's all the Avodah Zarah. The same as the Avodah Zarah. So what Yosef told Paro was that you're making a mistake. Biladoi. There's nothing special, intrinsically special about me that gives me any powers to interpret the colors. If that's what you're looking for, then you came to the wrong person. But Elokim Yanes from Paro. The Chachma, the only one that has power is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only one that has power. And he permits people who devote themselves to his Chachma, he permits them to reach a level of understanding where they can partake of his knowledge. That's the bracha you say when you see a chacham. So he taught Paro a whole different attitude. He started off right away. He told Paro that my interpretation is a different kind altogether. As a matter of fact, I am different than what you're even looking for. Because Paro in the previous pasuk was really looking for a magical person. You have some magical powers. It's not me. It's an institution of Chachma. Anyone that partakes of that institution can do the same thing that I'm doing. There's nothing special personally about me. Then what did he say? Then when he interpreted the dream, so he said that, he explained the dream, and then he says, well, Yavoda Asadolaris explains the whole thing, what's going to happen, and then he says, Va'ata yera faro ish novon v'chofon yishisei ol eretz Yisrael. So he says, now I'm going to explain you the interpretation of the dream. It's a different kind of interpretation that you ever had before. Because, you see, they told him, sheva bonos ato atomol sheva bonos ato. There were several interpretations. We've got various interpretations. But okay, but what's the underlying nature of those interpretations? The underlying nature of those interpretations was that God is either going to give you a blessing or a curse or both. A blessing or it's a curse. Or it's both, blessing and a curse. Which means to say that it's this is the way God works. God bestows blessings upon people and he bestows curses. That's a part of the primitive mind. That's how the primitive mind works. That's why the primitive mind is always trying to propitiate, in their Avodah Zarah, they always try to propitiate the gods, which means they try to find favor in the eyes of their gods, and they do certain things, even up to human sacrifice, in order to find favor in the eyes of the gods, which means they look at their Avodah Zarah, at their gods, as some kind of a force that's going to bestow a blessing upon them if they find favor in his eyes, or he's going to, they're going to curse him. But Yosef said, no, you're making a mistake. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a situation, and he gives a person chachma, and he allows the blessing or the curse stems not from the events, but from the way the person treats the events. If he treats the events with chachma, so it could be a big blessing. If he treats the events without chachma, like a fool, so then it'll be a curse. So that's why he said, you see, that's why, lahavdil by the goyim, they're always waiting to be saved, you see. That means to say that that's the same thing as Avodah Zarah. Same exact Avodah Zarah goes back to the time of time. No difference. It means that their idea is that it's simply a curse or a blessing. So what Yosef said it like this. He says, now that we know, God gives you the knowledge, and through the knowledge we know the facts that are going to take place. Is it going to be a blessing or is it going to be a curse? It totally depends on what you do. If you do nothing, you'll starve to death. But if on the contrary you use your chachma and you prepare, then it'll be the greatest blessing. Because it means that Mitzrayim could become the biggest, the wealthiest nation in the world. Because of the fact that there is a famine, and they're the only ones that have food, so through the rationing system that Yosef introduced, so on the contrary, so it could be the biggest bracha. interesting is, that's why it says, Va'ata yera faro ish nevun l'chocho. He said, didn't say anything about the religious person. Doesn't say anything about a religious person. So ish nevun l'chocho nishisail or etnisroim. And actually, the way it worked was that that wasn't just, Ramban says, wasn't just the chokhmah wasn't just to create a rationing system. That's one thing. That was tremendous chokhmah in that alone. But also how to save the grain. How to save the grain was a difficult thing, because to save the grain for an entire nation that it shouldn't rot requires tremendous chokhmah. So Yosef established established research centers where they were able to work and determine how the grain could be saved, that it shouldn't rot through the succeeding 7 years. So what he did really, that's why Paro was satisfied. Paro was an interesting person. Apparently he wasn't a fool. he had his religion, he had the Chatumim, he had the religion, the people that were religious there, but he wasn't completely convinced about his religion. He wasn't completely convinced. He had his doubts. He was a rational person. And when Yosef was able to speak with him, of course the Torah doesn't tell you everything he said to him. You see, many times the Torah doesn't really explain everything. Torah tells you a few things. But apparently he spent time with him and he explained to him a whole different shita. And he saw a whole different shita, that the world is based on Chochmas Elokim, like Avraham Avinu showed, and he was convinced about the system. That's what convinced him basically was a whole philosophical change in his outlook and his understanding of the world and in his whole philosophy. So he was really a Talmud. He became a Talmud of Yosef HaTzadik. He became a Talmud of Yosef. So, yeah. That's why Gemara says that the Chatumim came to Paro and they asked him, why are you doing this? They criticized Paro for recognizing this. So they sensed that there was competition there, because that means he really banished them from their position. He really replaced them. He replaced them completely. But he said to them, he says, Dinune Maluchani Rabo. I see in him many different things. I see different chokhmas in him. So he convinced Paro to change the whole way that his malucha works. Question is, was Paro a good Talmud or a bad Talmud? What is that? What? Yeah, right. That's right. If you hold it as the same melech that changed his mind later, there's no question about it that. That he was a bad Talmud. Yeah. But you see, even if you read carefully, you see, even not that far back, not that far later, but even in the very next parsha, if you look carefully, you see that he wasn't. He wasn't such a good Talmud. Where do you see it?
When he had to vary his father?
No. Even before that. You see? It says like this. Yeah, that's true. You see it later? Yeah, he had the priest there. He had the priest, but the priest you could say that was for the Egyptians. He couldn't destroy the religion. Okay. But you take a look. You see, Paro... Not at this point. Not when he says "Ein Navon L'Chacham Kamocha." That's what it meant. Meaning "Navon L'Chacham Kamocha" means you are the real Chacham. You have the true ideas. These people are crazy. That's what nonsense. I was fooled all my life. I believe what they said, but this is nonsense. And you pointed Yosef. There's no question about it. He saw it was nonsense. But you see, but Yadis, the Torah is very deep, and the Torah really shows you knows that a person can operate on different levels. It's not so simple. As the Torah says by Noach, that Noach went into the Teva mitnei me'amabo. Maimin ve'ein amayim. Maimin ve'ein amayim. Ambivalence is something which is very rampant in a person's, in the human psyche. And Paro at this point was overcome. There's no question about it. He was overcome at the moment he was clear. It was clear in his mind that Yosef is, this whole philosophy is the correct one, and this is an unbelievable thing. But you see, it wasn't so simple. He wasn't completely. You know human nature. You know, you may win somebody over. Doesn't mean that because he sees the ideas, that if he sees the true ideas, that it's necessarily going to... It's going to stay with him for a very long time. There are degrees, shades. Okay, Maimon Veina Maimon. Take a look later. It says like this. It says, V'tiref kol eretz mitzrayim v'yitzak ha'om paskun hei. V'yitzak ha'om o paro l'alochem. V'yoma paro l'chol mitzrayim l'chol Yosef. Asher yoma l'chem tasu. Take a look at Rashi. Asher yoma l'chem tasu. L'fi shehoye Yosef omer l'chem Sheyimulu. Ukeshebo etzel paro v'omrim kachu amalanu. So Yosef told them that they should circumcise themselves. So he says, Sheyimulu etzel paro v'omrim kachu amalanu. That's what he's telling us. Amalahen. V'lomalo tzevatim bo v'alo hichriz lachem sheshnei harav boyim. Amrlo asafnu abe v'yakivo. Amalahen imkein kol asher yomu lachem tasu. Harei gozra latvur v'yakivo man yigzor leinu v'nomas. Okay. You see? Interesting Rashi. Interesting Chazal. Okay? See, Chazal are very sensitive to Pesukim. You need a certain sensitivity when you read a Torah to be able to uncover the wisdom of the Torah. What is the... Why did Chazal say this on the Pesuk? Well, what's difficult in the Pesuk? There's something they notice. The Pesuk stands out. There's something that would seem to be wrong with the Pesuk. What is it? It's very simple, very straight. It says, "Batirav kol eretz Mitzrayim." All right, fine. So the shnei asav are gone, and now it starts the shnei arav. So, "Batirav kol eretz Mitzrayim," "Vayitzakom opar lalochem," "Vayom opar lalochem Mitzrayim l'chul Yosef," "Hashem l'chem tasa." What kind of thing is this? That was the whole plan. The whole thing. Oh, I'm sorry. It says that Nunei, pasuk Nunei. It says all of Egypt. It says that the years of prosperity were over. And then it says the years of hunger began, the years of famine began. So it says that that all of Egypt hungered, and they cried to Paro for bread. So Paro said to Egypt, he says, "Go to Yosef. Whatever he tells you to do." So Chazal noticed something. This is a strange pasuk. That's the whole plan all along was it. He told him. He says, "Ain't never chacham kamacha. Atati al bisa basi." You're the one that's going to implement the whole plan. So what is this thing, go to Yosef? Of course, I mean, what did they come to Paro for? What did they come to Paro for? They shouldn't have come to Paro. This whole thing was set up that Yosef was the man. So you see that Yosef's success, really, was not like you think from reading it on the surface. It sounds like he made a fantastic success. A young man, 30 years old, made it tremendously successful, and that's all he sat back and relaxed. Didn't have any problems. Didn't have any political problems. He just was busy with creating the rationing system. You see that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. Apparently, he was working on the system. He didn't lose his job. I mean, he was working on the system, but there was a lot of resistance to Yosef. A lot of resistance to Yosef. And that's why they came to Paro. Because in 7 years' time, it was already a different state of affairs than existed 7 years previously when he made his appearance in front of Paro. He was already suffering the effects of the resistance. And apparently people weren't going to him anymore, and they were going to Paro. And he lost part of the glory of his position. And when they went to Paro, so Paro said to them, he said, "I don't understand." Paro was very impressed with him. But then at the same time, there was another emotion that was bothering Paro. The emotion that was bothering Paro was that Yosef was gaining tremendous control and power. And Paro started to become envious of the power and the control that Yosef had through his chokmah. First, he was very happy because it was a means to saving all of Egypt. But then later, the envy started to grow. There's a certain resentment there started to build up. That Yosef is a tremendous chacham, it's true, but he can't control all of Egypt. So he was changing his mind. He wasn't so happy with the situation. And apparently he let it known, politically. And he took people away from Yosef. He didn't take his job away completely, but he started to remove the power from Yosef, and he made himself again. He was the center. Instead of keeping to what he did originally, what he said originally, that you are the one that's completely in charge, he was losing. Yosef was losing power. Yes. Not necessarily. He permitted, he understood that there's such thing as Ashgacha. Shenasan le Chachmas al Abbas Vadam. I mean, Sof Kol Sof, the Chachma comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Yosef, that was Yosef saying. No, I don't think so. You understand the idea? Yeah. Ideally, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Rebbe, is the ultimate Rebbe, and he taught you, he made it possible for you. He said, that's what he said, since it's true, there may be nothing special about you, but since God allowed you to attain this level of Chachma, and he set up your life in such a way that you should reach this level of Chachma, to his Ashgacha, ain't never on the Chachma Kamar. That's what he said. Yes. He said it himself. He said himself. Ain't never on the Chachma Kamar. I'm not as smart as you. He agreed. He agreed he's not as smart as you. He recognized. But what he disliked was the power that he was attaining. So, what? Dislike? Because, that's what I'm saying, because it says, why did they come to Paro after 7 years? They shouldn't have come to Paro. They should have went to Yosef. Because that was the whole plan. That was the whole system. He was at the TL basis. So when the hunger came, so they should have went to Yosef directly. That was the system that was set up. He was in charge of everything. They all of Mitzrayim knew that Yosef's in charge. And that's it. So why did they come to Paro and say, Shayom Lacham Tassa, do whatever he says? We didn't do whatever he says. That's what we're talking about all these years. What are we doing? What are we establishing all these years? It would be as if a government established. I'm telling you, that's what Chazal say. That's why it's in Rashi. That's why Chazal say the pasuk doesn't make any sense. Because it would be like a government establishes a system, a rationing system, and then suddenly, when it comes time to use it, they go back to the government and say, what are we supposed to do? This is what we knew we were supposed to do. This is the whole thing. I'm telling you, no, they shouldn't have come to Paro. The fact that they came to Paro shows that Paro endorsed this kind of an attitude. If Paro had all along said Yosef is the man, and in case of any difficulties, Yosef is the one who's in charge in the whole rationing system, whenever it's a question of food, you go to Yosef, they wouldn't have come to Paro. He already told them not to come to him. He would have said, what did you come to me for? But he didn't. He said, L'chol Yosef asher yom lachem tasu. Chazal was sensitive. We asher yom lachem tasu. What do you mean? He should have said, what did you come to me for? Like they told you to go to Yosef. It sounds like a new decree. It's a new decree. L'chu al Yosef asher yom alachem tasa. It means that at this point they were justified in coming to Paro. And Paro himself endorsed it. Otherwise they wouldn't have come to Paro. If he wouldn't have endorsed it, he's very sure. If Paro had said to go to Yosef originally, and that's the whole system for 7 years, why did they come to Paro? It'd be crazy. They came to Paro because Paro was himself was removing the power from you. He was making Yosef politically. Politicians know how to do this very well. He knew politically he was diminishing his stature in the eyes of the people. And he was pushing him on the side. He's playing a minor role. He didn't completely remove him, but his role was diminished. His role was diminished. So since his role was diminished in the eyes of Egypt, so that's why they were justified in going to Paro. He made his own role, the role of Paro, he made greater, overshadow the role of Yosef. And even with regard to this, he had a change of heart. 7 years later, it wasn't the same thing as it was on the day that Yosef interpreted the halal. That's clear from the psukim, yes. Yeah, I know. At the end of Rashi. We're going to get to it. At the end of Rashi. We're going to get to it. So what did Paro say? So Paro, as a matter of fact, you see in Paro, in the way what Chazal say that Paro said, you see clearly that this is so. Because Paro said to him, he says, Lama lo tzuvartem bo, lalo hichriz lachem shishnei roach boim. You see? In other words, he was angry at the fact that Yosef had this power, this control. And he really was quietly trying to take away this idea from Yosef. And he wanted to use Yosef's intelligence, Yosef's mind. He wanted to use the facts that he got from him, but he wanted to use them against Yosef. He was trying, in a quiet way. I mean, he couldn't go openly against his original decree, his original idea, or something like crazy. But what he did was, in a very quiet way, he was trying to convince the Mitzrim that, well, we know the facts now, and you can do this yourself. We don't need them anymore. We don't need them anymore. We have the information. Now we're on our own. We should do things on our own. And that's what he said to them. He says, what's the problem? Why'd you come here? All these years I've been trying to tell you that we have the information already, and now we should just act on the information. We don't need him. Don't let him have so much power. You see? That's what he was saying to them. That's what Paro said when they came to Paro. He was surprised. He said, why was he surprised? Lamelo Tzvartan Bar? It means because all these years he was in a very political way. He was trying to influence the people to be on their own. We have this information from Yosef already, and we should be doing this on our own. He couldn't come out right and say that because he appointed him already. But he appointed him already. At first? No. First he's overwhelmed. At first he's overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed at Yosef. What? No. They did. See? I'll tell you a second. I appointed him.
He didn't know.
Paro wasn't giving out a mochri. Oh, there's no question about that. You're right about it. Rocket Kisei on that. Yes, that's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. It's true. He said, I need Paro. Bilodai, Loyorimish, what is it? Bilodai, Loyorimish, Sero Ferrer. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a Bildecha. I'm sorry. Where's that possible? That's on the contrary. Bilodecha, Loyorimish, Sero Ferrer. That was his giving Yosef power. Yeah. But of course, he wasn't giving away everything. He wasn't giving away Mulcha. It wasn't crazy. Yeah, it wasn't crazy. He's the greatest advisor he ever had, but he's not giving over the Mulcha. I mean, that'd be, he kept his Mulcha. But the only thing is, you see, the thing is that over the years, over the seven good years, Yosef's position started to deteriorate. And Paro was a direct cause, directly involved in undermining Yosef's position. And trying to overshadow Yosef's position by his own position. And he was trying to subtly, he was giving a subtle message to the people. Paro wasn't a fool, he was a melech, he was an intelligent person. He knew how to handle people, and he was giving out the message that we have the information from this man, and now we're not going to let him have total control. But we ourselves can take the information, and we don't need it. We dislike the power that Yosef wielded. Even though he was so overwhelmed at first, that's the way human nature works. That's the reality of human nature. That's not, you understand what I mean? People don't stay astonished. Exactly. Don't stay astonished. And when they are astonished, they act one way, and when they aren't astonished, later they start revising their whole attitude. So you see? And how do you see this? You see this clearly from the same Rashi. It says an important thing. What did they come to Paro for? Rashi says, Shiyamulo. What does it mean? It means, what did Yosef tell them that they should do Milo? Well, Yosef was interested in introducing them to the idea of Bris Avraham. Why do you want them to do Milo? What's the answer? The answer is very simple. The answer is because Yosef already sensed resistance from the people. And Yosef had deep psychological insights. And he knew that the difference between a circumcised person and an uncircumcised person is very important in the unconscious mind of an individual. An important factor. And it breaks the identification. And that's why Yosef insisted that they all have meal. That's why he says, because he saw. You see, you have to understand something. When you look at the Torah in an infantile way, you know what I mean? A childish way, it just sounds like a simple thing. Yeah, Yosef was a great success, and that's it. You don't see what was going on behind the scenes. Yosef in Mitzrayim was a constant battle. It was a constant battle. He was constantly in danger of losing his position, and he had to always be thinking of ways to maintain his power. He was fighting a tremendous resistance with all his chokhma and all the, and as impressive as he was, like nobody else could be. Nevertheless, in spite of that, he was constantly battle. And that's why you see, I mentioned one time by Vayechi. You see, by Vayechi, he was completely gone. Because it says he had to go beg Dabramel base Paralemo. He had to go beg his father. His father made him swear all the time. He couldn't even speak to Paralemo. He went to base power. You see, he fought. It was a constant battle that he was fighting, an uphill battle against the Egyptian society. Egyptian society wanted to constantly remove him. The Chatunim, you can imagine, this is a Malucha. This is a regular Malucha. It's not the Lusoria. Regular Malucha. Malucha, you have the Chatunim, they're powerful people, the leaders of Egypt, the Egyptian nation itself. A stranger's coming in, he's going to be the most powerful man in the country. And Paro himself, it could be the Paro himself, the reason why he was taking away from Yosef's glory and prestige wasn't only because of himself necessarily. He was a political man, could very well be to satisfy the people also. The people didn't like this. People don't like this. Taken outside, a stranger, a Shonatan, not Ivri was a person that they knew about. The Ivri were prominent people, and they knew about them, and they disliked them, they despised them. So this whole Paro, by making his, he was very enthralled in the beginning. Yeah, in the beginning he was very enthused by Yosef. But his enthusiasm got the best of him, because later he was mischaret. He saw not just himself necessarily, the people also. He saw it was not going off very well. The people are... The people don't like the idea of having somebody, a stranger, be the Sheni LeMelech, and no one else has any power besides him and the Melech. This was something politically was not good. A Melech isn't so powerful as you think. A Melech always depends upon the will of the people. People close over to the Melech. Later. That's true. Well, you see what happened. See, this at this point, Yosef was really in danger. This pasuk is where Yosef was in danger. But you see what happened? What happened was that the Tzvuah of the Egyptians, Paro subtly tried to get them to save the Tzvuah. But you see, it didn't work. The Tzvuah of the Egyptians was routed. Because Yosef was more than just setting up a rationing system, which was tremendous chokhmah, but there had to be, they didn't do enough research on how to preserve all that Tzvuah for 7 years, that it shouldn't rot. You need grain, you need enough grain for an entire nation. Not just putting away a little bit of grain in the jar. So Yosef was the one that studied the problem, and he came up with a solution. And because of that solution that he came up with, that saved his whole position. That saved his whole position. But Paro, yeah. Yeah. I was going to get to that. The fact that Rashi, the way Paro answered them, was in mystical tones. You see? He already said, it meant that he was reverting back to a mystical way of thinking when he was talking about it. That this is special powers he has, and we have to put up with it. And so you see that Paro was a Talmud. He was a good Talmud, a momentary Talmud. A moment is a very good Talmud, very enthused. But he was a Talmud on Maharach or a Rabbi. And he tried to overthrow him. But Yosef had a constant use of chokhmah to maintain his position. He decreed on it to him. He did a mystical answer. He made this decree, and now he's going to decree on us, and we're going to die. So that was the yes. Why was Yosef interested in keeping his position? Yeah, it's a good question. That's a good question. What did he care about his position? What did he need the position for?
The what? Yes. Yes. What did I say? There's no question about that. Doesn't say no, because the dreams were it's an interesting thing. The dreams at this point it wasn't Yosef did not consider the dreams as being fulfilled at all. Not at all. Because it says, when did it say for the dreams? When the brothers came, it says Vayizkor Yosef Esa Chalomos Asher Chalomah. So apparently those dreams of his grandeur, you see, was only grandeur insofar as the brothers are concerned. To be that was the halal. To be great in the eyes of Egyptians, no matter how many Egyptians there were, wasn't to him any fulfillment of any halal. But they were basically low people. But the brothers, that was a different that was just a god. That was a different level. Yes. But why you want to maintain his position? There's several reasons. First of all, the position of power is something which could be used for the good of people. Because he has the position, he's respected, and there's no doubt about it that Yosef taught people the true ideas and was able to gain a following. The Torah doesn't mention it because it's not important. The Torah is interested in the sequence as far as building Bnei Yisrael. Just like the Torah doesn't really expand too much on how many people Avraham Avinu had followers. Ram says hundreds, Allah. Thousands of followers. So, because nothing became of it. And the Torah just doesn't tell the incidents. The Torah just tells the incidents that have to do with the building of the Klal Yisrael, not Gacha. But there's no doubt that he used his power in order to influence people and to teach them true ideas, which is important. So you don't throw away the institution. Moreover, he also knew that his brothers were going to come. And he knew that he could save them through his position. He would be able to save them. That's why I said, he knew that in advance. How do you know he knew they were going to come? Because the Medrash is... Yeah. By the way, why I spoke one time, you remember, I told you why he never sent a letter to his father. Why he never sent a letter to his father. The reason why he never sent a letter to his father. You mentioned it, right? Why he never sent the cash everybody was, why he never sent a letter to his father. The reason why he never sent a letter to his father was very simple. Because when we spoke about in Parshas Vayetze, so the chalom that Yaakov had was a chalom that he would create Shiftei Kof. And that was he said, Lo Yimotze Psul Bizari, which meant this was his divine mission, was to establish Klal Yisrael, and it wasn't like Avraham and Yitzchak and Yitzchak and Yaakov. That was Ashgach. That was special Ashgach. But Yaakov was the last of the others. And after that, Klal Yisrael had to be built by purely by natural means. And Yaakov had to use all his efforts to create Shiftei Kof. And if Yaakov would have known that the brothers wanted to kill Yosef, or in fact they sold him, then he simply would have had nothing to do with them. He would have considered them to be not roy to establish Shiftei Kof. He would consider them to be Rishayim, and it would be the end of the whole. Building of the system of Klal Yisrael. That's why he didn't do it. Impossible thing to do. Yeah, he found that eventually after the Machzor B'Tshuva. Machzor B'Tshuva is a different thing. Machzor B'Tshuva, anybody can B'Tshuva. But before that, you can't say somebody's going to Machzor B'Tshuva. You don't know what's going to happen. So, I mean, this time he's in Russia. I mean that he was Mekabel Ashur, Leimotze Psul Bazari, and then his children would have turned out to be Rishonim. It would have been, insofar as Yaakov's concerned, it would have been the end of his whole life. That would be it. destruction insofar as all his efforts would have been. It would have been worse than losing Yosef. As bad as it was. What's not? That's right, Mr. Fuller. That's why they said, apparently he suspected them of something. He suspected them of something. Of course, he said to them, he said, Shema Yeshbachem Minas. He said, Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Apparently he suspected something. But but that would have been the whole downfall of the Shiftei Kor. It would have been the end of the Shiftei Kor. Yosef knew that. He couldn't say a word to his father. Yitzchak knew. What did he tell him? That's all for Yitzchak. What did he say? He said Yitzchak knew. He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell him. I have no idea. Yitzchak knew. He said HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell him. I can't tell him. That's right. That's not for me. He shouldn't tell him. That's right. Okay. It is a chazal like that. That's right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Messiah put him in Nidu. That Akash Baruch Hu didn't tell him. Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, it was. The temple. Where do you see it? There's another Rashi later. Says it about the Nidu. Another Rashi. Yeah, it had an effect. What? That's what they kept him. They kept him to maintain his position. That was one of the things. That was one of the things he did. Later, he had instituted another measure in order to maintain his power, and that was that he took them from place to place, shifted them, and they shouldn't have any pride of ownership on the land. He was constantly involved in maintaining the system. That's why Chazal said that why did Yosef die 10 years before the rest of the Shvatim? Because of the fact that he was a leader and he had the political leader. And it means it was a constant strain. Nothing great is attained without any effort, without tremendous effort. Tremendous constant effort on this part. Okay, yeah.
Was Yosef totally cleansed from any visions he had of himself as the individual from the reason of war? But then he asked the question, why did he want to give the power? And to me, it just seems, crushed. He's got a Hadar of Dolos, Sununu. He wanted a guy who was pushed out. Did he want to give a power? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Guys at that level, you don't just, it's not something you just walk away from and you retire gracefully to the sidelines. It's something that, especially like Mark said, you're talking about the most powerful kingdom in the world at the time, and you're number two man. Just would he give that up? Was he such a visionary? Was he such a
It was, I said? Good question. The question is, did Joseph cleanse himself from his. His ego was the campus. What's the question? What was that saying? Who Yosef Shem Betzitka? Who Yosef Shem Betzitka? No change. Yosef Shem Betzitka. No, his character was good. No, it didn't. His character was really good. That's what I mentioned last week when it says that when the brothers said that they made a mistake. See, by the way, he was looking for the brothers. How do you know he was looking for the brothers? Because of the story. It says that Vayisnaker aleihem, vayedaber itom kashas, vayom aleihem. You see, vayiske Yosef esach halom shechom lam vayem lam ragum atem. Before that, it's twice. Vayayos vasecha vayakina. Vayisnaker aleihem. It's plus Zion, Membei Zion. Vayisnaker aleihem. He made himself as a stranger to them. Vayedaber itom kashas. He spoke very, very roughly with them. Vayom aleihem ayin basim. Vayomu meeretz kinam lish barucha. Then Vayisker Yosef Esach Halamas Hashal Cholman Vayom Aleim Meragrim Atem Miros Aseras Olitz Bosom. You see, so what was this accusation? You can't just make a crazy accusation. They say Meragrim Atem. Why? Because they came to us for some food. Doesn't make them Meragrim. So Chazal said that he was waiting for them, and he had certain gates that he 10 gates. Yeah, it's Tikkun. They wouldn't just allow anybody to come to the city. Anybody came to the city, they had to give them a name. What's your name? What's your father? So, surveillance. So they came in and 10 separate gates. And he told the ones that were in charge that the moment you see these names, you bring them to me. So they came, and that's why he was able to say Meraglimata. They came through separate gates. So because they came through separate gates, So he says that's the method of Meraglim. He says you come through separate gates, and then you get together later, and you get together to discuss what you saw. So, yeah, right, spies. One family should come through one gate, you see. They come through one gate. Why do they come through separate gates? And then they get together later. But he was waiting for them. So then they gave him So he said to them, why did you come to separate gates? So they said that we came because we had a brother who's lost. We're looking for him. So then that was in the beginning. So he said that this was actually, you take a look, it's really at first it's an interesting thing. Why it says like this. It says Vayiska Yosef Esa Chalomos Asher Chalomah. So why do you remember the Chalomos? I mentioned this once before. Why? Because it was the Mati. In other words, he had no right. He wanted them to be Machzor B'Tshuva. He wanted them to do Tshuva. But how was he going to make them do Tshuva? Very simply, by creating the same situation that existed between him and the brothers, to recreate the situation with them and Binyamin. This is an interesting thing. So what he did was he said, bring down the other brother. Bring down the other brother. Why did he say bring down the other brother? I mean, what was the dialogue here? So, and what right did he have to do that? Because it caused tremendous pain for his father. Because he knew that his father, he must have known right away when he saw Binyamin's not there, that the father's not letting Binyamin go. That was his brother, from Rachel. So, same mother. So he must have known right away. So what right did he have to do that? So that's why it says, V'yizkir Yosef Eisa Chalomas HaShechol Mahon. The Matya was the, he needed a heck to do such a thing. The Matya was the Chalomas. He understood the Chalomas, he says, that means I'm supposed to do this. Because now they came in front of me physically, for sustenance. That was the Chalom of Ma'alman Malumin. That was exactly the Chalom. And now I have to be their Rebbe, and they have to, and I have to teach them in terms of metaphysically also, in terms of Derech HaChaim, second Chalom, the second Chalom. So, just a matter of fact in the pasuk, it says, you see, when you first, so before, let's be a question. So if that's the case, so why did he speak roughly to them before? It says, Vayiska Yeshua Yisra Chalom Chichonlam. That was, if, he never said Meraglim Atem until the Chalomas. You notice that? He didn't say Meraglim Atem, he had no right to say until the Chalomas. Why? Because, but Vayisnaka Alayim he did. Why Vayisnaka? See, he was waiting for Vayisnaka Alayim. It's bothering me, but the Ramban explained it. Ramban explained it says, Vayaker Yosef Es Echo, Vahim Lo Hikiru. See? Vaya Yosef Es Echo, Vayakirim, and then it says again, Vayaker Yosef Es Echo. Ramban explains, he says he had to be 100% sure. He hadn't seen them in a long time, so at first he recognized them, but then Vayisnaka Alehem, he acted strangely, he wanted to get more information. Vaydaber Itam Koshos, Vayamaleh Me'ayin Basim. So then it says, Vayamu Me'eretz Kenan Lish Baruch Hu, then he knew it was them. Then he was convinced. You see, he wasn't yet, it took him a while to come to this complete decision that this is really them. Okay? Then it says, Vayaka Yosef Hasecho Vayim Leikiru. Then if they want to make 100% sure. Then he said, Meraglim Atem. Then there was the whole dialogue. And he says, why did you come here? And they said, we're looking for our brother. So then he started to ask them questions, interrogate them, and he couldn't catch them. Because he said to them, he says, what would you do if you found them? They said, well, we'd pay money to redeem them. So he said, so what would, and what if they wouldn't, allow you to redeem them? Even with money. So they said, we came here either to kill or to be killed. So he said, "Who ashed dibati alechem raglam atem?" He says, "So you're aggressive people. You admit now this is something which requires a person that comes into the country and admits he's going to violate the law, he's going to kill people. These people you have to be treated differently. You said that it shows that that's why governments work, by the way. That's why governments work. Governments they set them up and when governments persecute somebody, that's what they say. Any little inclination, they try to find any inclination in the victim that they were going to break the law. That's it. He says, now I have a right to keep it. And magnify it. So you see that you're basically lawbreakers. So that's how he worked out the sin. That's how he worked it. So then he said to them, he said, are you spies? So they said, no. They said, we aren't spies. They said, we're really one family. So then they gave him, you see, they told him that they're one family and one brother's gone, and the other one is home with his father. Why did they, Yaakov asked him later, why did they have to say that? What did he say? Honest with us? Normally, got to tell him the ish, elohim off. But the answer, so he said, Shol Shalish, we long them all come along. Yeah. So what does it mean? It means first of all they knew one thing. You don't lie unless it's absolutely necessary, because if you start telling lies, you get caught with victimized. Moreover, the fact that they had another brother added to the reality of the situation. In other words, if you're spies, you say we're all brothers. You're just saying you're all brothers. I mean, you might be able to get away with it, but if you say we have another brother, there's a difference in you only see part of the scene. You see right now, you see a group of us, but there's another brother, and to give the reality to the situation. So that's why he said to them, he said, okay, if that's the case, you bring down the other brother, and if it's true that he's really your brother, then I know you're telling me the truth. How would he find out? I mean, you just take somebody from the street and say he's the brother. No. Because, you see, he showed them that he was a tremendous chacham in the interrogation. First of all, the way he caught them, the way he tripped them up. First of all, oh, what is it? You want to break the law? Okay. So he showed them that he is a big chacham. Not only that, Chazal said that he said, he did a strange thing. He looked at it, he had this cup, his gevira. And he said, I heard that two of you destroyed an entire city. So they thought that he's obviously a person that has a lot of information somehow. They didn't know where, but he's a very shrewd individual. And they knew that when they bring the idea was that you bring the other brother down to me, and I'll interrogate him privately. Then I'll interrogate you, and we'll see if your history is matched. The history is matched. And they knew that there's no way that he could make up any lies and get past his investigation, his interrogation. So that was the plan. He could make up a story in a few days, but now when he gets down to the little details. Before he did it. Yeah. Spies? He says the low level. One low level. He says the low level. On the contrary, because I'll say that the one, they have 10 people. No. Okay. Yeah, this is, you don't know where these people are coming. We have 10 intelligent people. Obviously, these people aren't low-level people. He already knew information about them before they got there. They weren't low-level people. These were intelligent people. It's obvious that he knew they were intelligent people, and they knew that he knew they were intelligent people. They weren't some fool. And, no, from their framework. The whole idea of Yosef's concept of power was that this could be the biggest bracha, because this could be, now it could be the most powerful country. So a country, the only country in the world that has the grain, that has the food. I mean, you have to be very careful here. That definitely there are going to be people trying to undermine this country, overpower the country, because of all the power that they have now. And he had the information, and they weren't low-level people. They weren't low-level people by any means. He knew about that. He found out. Yeah. Sneaky. It wasn't instantly. He didn't know whether they were, if they're really 10 spies, then they could be spying from another country. They could be working for another country. They could be wanting to overthrow the government. Yeah. They weren't low-level people. So anyway, so Neither way. Oh, was he before? Oh, I saw him right before? Interesting thing of it. Interesting pasuk. It says when they responded to him, it says Vayomer Elav Lo Adoni. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Elav Lo Adoni. Vavadecha Bo Lish Bo Ofron. So it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kulanu Bnei Yish Echad Nachman. They're all the sons of one man. Kein Manachman. Vayomer Vadecha Manachman. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes to Chazal. Kulanu Bnei Yish Echad Nachman. Nitznesa Behem Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. The Kilaluhu Imayam, Sha'afu Ben Avim. Interesting. There's a Ruach HaKodesh, somehow or other, started to express itself, and they said, Kulanu, they included him. It's like a Ruach HaKodesh. It's interesting. What did Chazal say that? What's the point of that? Kulanu B'nei Shechad Nachman. It's an interesting thing. But there's another Chazal. Chazal say, when he brought them into the house, it says that it's in Mem Gimel, Pasuk. It says, Vayishtu Rima. Vayishtu, see what it says? It says that he brought them into the house, and they prepared, the servants prepared the mincha, and then it says, Vayisam Masos Meis Punav Aleihem. And the end of the pasuk, Vayishtu Vayishkurima. They ate and they drank and they became shikar. They became drunk. So take a look at the Rashi. Umiyom Shemachuhu Lo Shasu Yayin. Velohu Shasu Yayin. Rosa Yom Shasu. That also. Interesting thing. Hanukkah Zalan Vayishtu Vayishkurima means that was the first time. The pasuk is telling you, Vayishtu Vayishkurima. That was the first time that they drank. Together, this was the first time for him and for them that they had drunk wine. It's an interesting thing. So, okay, what does that show you? It shows you that the brothers really always, after they sold them, they were always disturbed about their decision. And you see, Vayer Yudah Meis Echol, that he lost his position. So, It means to say is that chait. You see, chait is a distorting feature. And when a person is a chote, it means he has to suppress reality in his mind. Chote must suppress reality. He can't just be a chote. Otherwise, if he's not suppressing reality, he's acting in line with chachma. So that's correct. There's nothing to think about anymore. But a chote is a distorter. A person that commits a chait distorts reality. So it means that he has to take something that a part of his personality recognizes and suppress it. And that's why the person says, for Hashem Kayam Nigash. Why does it say the wicked person is turbulent like the ocean? Like the sea? It means to say he's turbulent because he's always fighting a part of his nature. You see? Chait is always a distorting feature. So it means that they really were chote because the reason why they misjudged him It wasn't that they had nothing against him. No, he seemed at a certain point like an evil person, because he was a slanderer. He was haughty. He was always interested in his appearance. He came out with his halomos. So they looked at him as an egocentric individual, and a person that must be removed from their society. He's going to destroy the society. And that was correct. As I mentioned last week, the mistake was, Reuven said, Alamata lechem altechetu vayelet v'lashmach. It means he made a mistake. He thought his essence was chayt, but that wasn't really his essence. He was a yelet. There was an immaturity on his part. The judgment was wrong because it's true that he had those things that they had mentioned. But the only thing was that they made a mistake and they thought that was his essence. Sometimes a person is a chotek, but it doesn't mean that that's his essence. Everybody acts in an immature way sometimes. But it doesn't mean that that's what his essence is. That's why Reuven says, "Allah Marta Lechem Al Techetu Vayelad." He's only a yelad. He really, that wasn't his essence. And we misjudged him. That was the wrong judgment. Why did they make that misjudgment? Because of their own emotions. And because they made the misjudgment because of their emotions, they were always suppressing a certain reality about Yosef. That reality that he really had fantastic qualities was something that they had to suppress. And because of that, after the judgment, they were very unhappy. That's why you see when they went down to Mitzrayim, they really went down to look for him. I mean, after all those years, it's a funny thing. It wasn't a conscious thing. If it was a conscious thing, they would have come down years ago. Why did they wait until the Rav? It's when a person has something that's nagging at him in his mind, certain situations play a major role in him acting in accordance with those feelings. You see? So in the back of their mind, there was a recognition of Yosef, really. He was really a great person, and the truth of the matter is we misjudged him. But there wasn't a conscious phenomenon. The Torah over here in these parshas deals with a lot of things that are below the surface of the mental apparatus of the conscious, and it means that they underneath. Okay, Hashem needed your help, right? You mean that's why they got the answer, correct? So the point is that in the back of their minds, they were always troubled by the decision. That they were suppressing a part of their mind that knew very well that Yosef was really not the Russia that they thought he was. And there was something, it wasn't a conscious phenomenon. It was beneath the surface of their minds. And when the situation came about that they went down to Egypt, that's when they said it's enough already. Now we have to see where he is and give him another chance. Give him another chance. Yeah. That was before. That was all the way back at the trial. Reuven said at the trial, at the first trial, he said. They didn't listen to them. Yeah, he recognized. Yeah. He recognized. He was overruled. Reuven was overruled. That was Reuven's argument. What? But apparently he wasn't only sold him, but he was there before. He said his plan was to save him. That's right. Reuven's plan was to save him. That's why. Why was Reuven's plan to save him? Because he held he was a yellow. He held it was just immaturity. Correct. That was the argument. But they didn't hold it well. That's what's called the yellow. What? It's a good question. It's a good question. After Tzach. After Tzach, he couldn't go against Tzach. They had a bezin. He couldn't go against Tzach. It was a bezin. He couldn't go against Tzach. There's no back one. Oh, yes, sir. So he couldn't go against Tzach. But at any rate, what? All the money. They want to give him another chance. Pfeiffer, yes. Right, yeah. So you see, so they were always troubled by that. But what's amazing is like this. So I understand why they didn't drink any wine. I understand that. But why didn't Yosef drink wine? What are you asking for? What? Listen, his father was inside. That's true. He's saying it's true. Now, he knew his father was Bitzar, but he didn't know that his father was constantly Bitzar for 22 years. That he didn't know. That's something that says, Vayimoyin Lesnachim. He had to be there to know how he was going to. You can't tell how a person's going to react. Yeah, I'm sure he knew he had Tzar, but he didn't know that he was constantly Bitzar. Why didn't he ever do wine? So he'll tell me he didn't do wine because he missed. He missed his family after all. And he was thrown out and he was alone and he wasn't happy anymore. It's not true. It's not true. How do you know he was very happy? And he got over all the emotional attachments to his family. And he was able to function completely, complete happiness. How do you know that? Where? Menashe Ephraim. That's Menashe Ephraim. When Menashe was born, what did he say? And here you see, it says, Yosef Yilot Shnei Vonim. This is Mem Beis. It says, Yosef Yilot Shnei Vonim Tam Tavosh Nasarov. Vayikra Yosef Pasuk Nanav. Vayikra Yosef Hashem Abchor Menashe. Kinashana Lekimas Kol Amoli V'Yais Kol Beis Ovi. V'Yais Shem Hasheni Kol Afloyim. Kifanya Lekim Baratonya. It's an interesting thing. And a person, an average person, would have called the first one a friend. Why? Because what would he have said? The first thing is, look how successful I was. I was successful in Eretz Onion, a land where they try to put me down. I mean, I had no hope. I didn't have a chance. I was an Eretz. And when God gave me success, so what would he say? Kiyafano, Kim Eretz Onion, would be the first one. No, he called the first one Menashe. What is Menashe? Ki Nashanu Lekim Es Kol Amali V'Yis Kol Beisav. Thus Yosef recognized the very true thing. And more important than any kind of success is a person's psychological well-being. And if he would have been rooted and tied to the past, the emotional attachment to his family, all the success in the world he was. Because a person's energies always have to be, in order to function properly, a person's energies always have to be in the present. If a person's energies are in the past, then he can't function. He can't function. Then his psyche is deteriorated. So he lived through a terrible period, and he emotionally was very tied to that event in the past, and the trauma of the event. But the first thing he said was, "Kinashani Elokim, let's call him all of the days called Beis Ovid." But God made me forget all the difficulties that I lived through, and it's called Beis Ovid, all my emotional attachments. And I was able to move my energies into the present and to be able to live and to work and to thrive psychologically. That was Menashe. That was the first. That was the most important. Second one was Ephraim, Ephraim Elokim Beretz Onya. That was successful. If the person is psychologically functioning well, then success can add to the picture. But without that, it's worthless. It's worthless. So, just a second. So you see in the contrary. You see in the contrary that he didn't forget. He didn't forget. For now, huh? You see in the contrary. He did forget. He did forget. He broke away completely emotionally. He completely broke away. So why didn't he drink wine? Why didn't he drink wine? What's the reason? I think it means an interesting thing. I think what Chazal means is it's on, both on the part of the brothers and on the part of the others. Chazal shows you something very interesting. It shows you that there's a very special talk, an underlying bond between people that share in depth the same philosophy and the same ideas, the true ideas. People that share the ideas of Yadis, that share the same ideas of Yadis, creates a tremendous bond between them. It's an invisible bond. It's a different kind of relationship, and you can't forget the other person. It means to say that both Yosef and his brothers, both of them, the relationship that they had, the recognition of the godless of each one, they him and he them, was never lost. Was never lost. He didn't miss an emotion. Forgot about that emotion. But there was an underlying recognition that he had of the brothers, that they were really gedolim, that they had tremendous qualities. And they recognized those qualities in him as well. That bond, no matter what, even though they sold him and wanted to kill him and they sold him and the whole thing, the bond was never lost. The bond was never lost. That's why they didn't drink any wine. It was the same thing. They didn't drink any wine, and he didn't drink any wine. Excuse me? They had to. Because they haven't chosen. But he drank because he didn't want to drink. Yeah. I mean the Chazal, yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. Thank you. Sochet on a Meshkel Shel Navin. Right? Well, what's Kiddush Yah? What's the reason? That's the pshat. Kulonu b'nei yeshechad nachman. Nitznisa b'hem rosh ha-chadosh. Kulonu b'nei yeshechad nachman. That's what the rosh ha-chadosh means. It means that we're all from one, we're all from one av, which means that we all share the same ideas, and therefore the bond was never broken. That's nitznisa b'hem rosh ha-chadosh. They said kulonu. They meant kulonu meant even yosef. Even yosef. It was rosh ha-chadosh, they didn't understand that. The fact is that the statement was really, was they really meant Yosef also. They meant Yosef also. What? It was automatic. It means that they never left, that he never left their mind. They never left him, he never left them. He never left their mind. As soon as they started to talk about the Mishpacha, Kulonu b'nei yeshechad nachman. Included, yes. Beautiful Chazal. Yeah, beautiful Chazal. There's one last point I'd like to make mention. Yeah. There's, it says, What did he do? So he tried to do was he tried to cause them to be marzah b'tshuva. He knew that was his mission. Okay. But it says, first of all, let me just a psychological point. Where he says, at first everybody asked the kasha, then why did he fill the bags with the food the first time? He was using a pepper straw. Okay? Right? Why did he fill the bags with food? So he says, and the first time, and then they came, they thought, this is what happened over here, and then he says, nothing, God gave you matmah. That's it. Keep it. So, what was the purpose of that? I haven't seen anybody say challenge. I think the purpose was, because he was getting ready to stage this whole robbery with Binyamin later, you see. Later when he filled the saddle base, it wasn't a daitan. The second time he didn't do it, it wasn't a trick. See? It says, by the time that saddle base, Alema Malayas Amchos, Anoshim Ochel, Kashe Yuchun Seis. That wasn't the same as before. Before it was done clandestinely. He wanted to fool him. But the next time it wasn't a daitan. Ramban says, because it can't be. What do you mean? It was just a gesture. To the minions, I defended them. I accused you falsely. I'm really sorry. And in showing that he was sorry, he gave them all back their money. That was a proper thing to do. So he was a gentleman. Any kind of vicious action. He didn't tend to be mean. But the first time, why did he do it? Why did he do it the first time? That's the question. My opinion, what? Just to demoralize them, but then they come back, they're reconstituted. They're remoralized. Because as soon as they came back, he says, no problem. It made them worry. They went through this whole thing. I think it was a psychological ploy. Psychological ploy. Why? Because, see, Yosef had to stage this whole thing with Binyamin. And he couldn't let them be suspicious in any way. Because if they're suspicious, then the whole thing's buttling a little. It's worthless. So, he knew one thing. That if you want a person not to be suspicious of you, there's one way to do it. Nobody does this way. Yosef did it. First, make him suspicious of you, and then show him how wrong he is. The moment you show him how wrong he is, I'll never suspect you again. I was wrong. So, yeah? That's good. They learned from the first time. Previous time. Check a look. That's good.
They didn't have a chance to check.
That's why they haven't checked it. So they see, they made this whole thing when they found the food, the money rather than the saddlebag. So then they said that it was a terrible thing. What is this? And then they came back and they were pleading. And then they thought. They said, why are we being brought? They said, the pasuk says. It says, this is all trickery. This is all, we're being framed for something we didn't do. So if that's the case, then you're going to be suspicious. So then he says, no, shalom lechem, al tirol, lekeichem, lekevichem, lesamachem, alam tachasechem, kashkem b'aloi. So immediately they saw that the whole suspicion that he's trying to get them is false. Once a person sees that he was wrong in suspecting the other person, it's going to be very hard for him to suspect him again. They're guilty. They're guilty about it, because they thought it was a rush, they're saying that he's trying to frame them. He says, nice guy. He's a mistake. So next time they'll accept. That's what he needs. Yeah. You mean? Please, you know, you can't be a chacham hachamaisa. I mean, you know the story, of course. You just listen to the story. You have to go back to the situation. If you want to see the situation, you want to figure it out. Believe me. Okay. Now, it's an interesting thing.
He said,
beyond the
sea,
he
told the brothers,
last year,
what was
that? No, Kim and Yerei, on the contrary. So Kim and Yerei, Hashem is a just person. Very just person. You'll see.
But that means you recognize his God, right?
Of course, what's wrong with that? Everybody recognizes God.
Don't you think the brothers would get a little suspicious?
No, the Egyptians recognized God. Egyptians recognized God. The only thing is, the Egyptians recognized the Chazals are wrong. I'm wrong. They recognize that there's one Borei Olam on top of all the Avodah Zarah in the beginning. It's not something that maybe when they translate the hieroglyphics, they sound exactly like the Rambam says. Exactly. The translator of the hieroglyphics will find out exactly like the Rambam says that the Egyptians recognize one God. Rambam says himself. Rambam says. Right. But they understood that there's one God that's over everything. The Egyptians only have their Avodah Zarah. The other, Mila Yerocha Melech Adonai. Rashi says the same thing. I found that Rashi is the same shot in Tanakh, in the theme as the Rambam says. That's it. Yeah. I think it's on the passage Mila Yerocha Melech Adonai. There's another. There's two places over there. But anyways. They all recognize there's one God. As a matter of fact, you're right, correct. The point is that they were less Ovdei Avodah Zarah than Christians in the churches today. Because they recognize one God. And the church believes in three. Which means that the church is a more primitive Avodah Zarah than the Egyptians. It's true. The only thing, there's nothing when Wallace Budge, the curator of the Cairo Museum, somebody says that when they interpreted the hieroglyphics, they found that the Egyptians believed in one God. The only thing is, just like the Rambam says, that they had nothing to do with that one God. The only thing, they had these sub-deities that they would worship constantly, and all their ceremonies and mystical things were always with regard to the sub-deities. Exactly like the Rambam says. Amazing. That's why it says, well, Kim and Yoreh, they recognize. Okay. So, I saw a nice chat. What? He knew. Well, Kinyan Shlomparo. They believed in God. They believed in one God. And that's what Yosef told them, that these sub-deities are crazy. It's Chochmas Elokim, and if you have the Chochmas, that was the whole philosophy for them. All he said is, and people make a mistake in that one. That Rambam, I'm glad they took it out. They should have kept it out. The thing is that the idea the Rambam is saying is a subtle idea, and everybody. All the Rambam is saying is that we don't. That Yeshu was a Russia. Yeshu was a Russia. The Rambam calls him Shrikatzamos. His bone should be ground. Shrikatzamos. He's a Russia. But the thing is, the Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the divine plan, there are certain things that we could say that are benefits. That's all we could say. We don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something. But he was in Russia, and all the people that followed him are of Devil Azar, without a question. The later ones, so the early ones weren't, because the early ones didn't believe him to be a deity. But the later ones, all of the... But the Ola Ram says that it just so happens that because of that, there's a situation that allows the Melech HaMashiach to arrive on the scene. Not from nowhere, but he has a basis, because everybody knows the Bible. That's what it means. And that's an Elgar. Yeah. No. It doesn't mean that they're more advanced. It means that it's a means of getting What the Rambam says is that Christianity serves as a means of getting the of setting the stage, so to speak, for the Melech HaMashiach, because he won't be talking to a wall. They know about the Bible, but it doesn't mean that their idea is any better than the Egyptian country. It's worse than the Egyptian. Worse, without a doubt, it's worse than the Egyptian. The Rambam says in the Morning Rambam that if a person believes that God has emotions, it's worse than all the other gods. If the other gods are believed in one God, then you make a mistake about that. Then you think God has emotions. But here, a person thinks that God has emotions, so then he's worse. And that's what they believe. That's the whole thing. Okay. Not just emotions, the Trinity, the whole thing. It's more primitive than ancient Egypt. Okay? Well, you see, I bring you a riot. Because Yosef HaTzadik was successful with power. But the Ramban wasn't successful with the king. Alright. So apparently Paro's ideas were more advanced. Alright? Because you don't need anybody better than the Ramban to explain to the game. He wasn't successful, he failed. Okay. So anyway, so the Caesars. Christians are primitivism is worse than the more primitive than the ancient Egyptians. So there were other, there's a beautiful Gra, by the way. The Gra explains the pasuk. A difficult pasuk in Bereishis. The pasuk in Bereishis says that it's a funny pasuk. It says L'sheis gam hu yulad ben v'yikra shmo enosh. Oz hucha likro b'shem Hashem. You know what it means? Oz hucha likro b'shem Hashem. What does that mean? Oz hucha, literally it means then it became chulin. It became chulin means to profane, right? To call in the name of God. What does this mean? What was it? Anyway, so the Gross is a very good shot. He says the original of the Avodah Zorah never called the sub deities God. They knew that there's one God, and these are sub deities that gave Mechleta in certain positions. I don't know, whatever. But they separated God from the gods that they worshipped. You see? But he says, Oz hu chalik v'shem Hashem, it's like the Rambam says, that it deteriorated at that point where they actually called the sub-deities God. Beautiful plan, huh? Okay. So at any rate, where were we out of here? What are we discussing? He was staging the scenario of Binyamin being framed as a thief. Okay. So in setting up that scenario. So what did he do? So first thing he did was with the Amchel story. But then there's another interesting thing. I mean, take a look. Chazal say that he. Chazal says, I told you. He told him that I know about Shem. Okay, he mentioned that to them, and then also he mentions over here. He says like this. He says, "Halo yedatem ki nachesh yinachesh ish asher kamon." First of all, when he comes with about the gvir, it's funny. When he comes about the gvir, they said this. He says, "What did you do? What did you take this? What do you take this gvir for?" Halo ze yishta asher yishta adoni bar pasukei. It's in Mem Dalet pasukei. Halo ze asher yishta adoni bar. This is my I don't drink from you. Vu nachesh nachesh bar. What is nachesh nachesh bar? That's some kind of a magical. What is that? Some kind of magical thing you use, a magical instrument. You see, harayosam asher asher. Not everybody explains that it means magic. Some want to say it means vu nachesh nachesh bar. It means that he did a trick with this thing. You do the trick. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is mashma that it's some kind of magic, but not everybody agrees with that. They want to say Hunachesh Nachesh means that he did a trick with this thing. He wanted to see if he's going to steal it. You see, and Halozash Yishta Dava means this is his cup. He can't let a regular person have this. This is a cup that belongs to Malchus. Can't let a regular person take this. He's trying to steal it. People have a tendency to do these type of things. They want to escape from the house with something of the king's. You see, with a Sheni Lamela. So then what happened? Okay. Yeah. There's Malchus. That Malchus. That Malchus is gone. Anyways, so tell you the prophet says what? Vayomer lem Yosef, Ma Maisa Zeh Asher Asisim, Alo Yedatem Ki Nachesh Yinachesh Ish Asher Kamoni. So what does it mean? Take a look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Alo Yedatem Ki Ish Choshev Kamoni, Yodeya Lenachesh, Veladas, look at Rashi emphasizes, Veladas Midas Unisvora Ubina. Rashi did not want it to believe that it meant that there was no clarification on Rashi. Rashi wants you to know it doesn't mean that he was a stargazer. He was a crystal ball gazer. He looked in his cup and Rashi says, what does it mean, Nachesh? Ladas midas misvara ubina ki atem ginafta magvia. He said, I know misvara. Okay, I know misvara. Now, I don't know how Rashi explains this before, but Nachesh, but Rashi does not commit himself. Doesn't say anything. I saw the Ibn Ezra, the other ones say a different shot. They say it means that it doesn't mean that he was necessarily some wrong shot, but it means that he used it for some kind of mystical perception. But he looked in and he saw it. Yeah, there is a Rashi before because he looked at the Gevir. Well, yeah, I know, it's strange. Right. But Rashi doesn't, over here Rashi just says Midas and Midina. It means that he wanted to impress upon him that he figured this out. What do you think I am? I'm a fool? He says, I can figure out immediately. I figured this out, that one of you guys took this. So it was Dasabina, that I have an understanding, a deep understanding of people. He meant to say, what do you mean you figured it out? Not like a Chachman, he's missing. So he's like, look, they were just there. Now, and he say that he knew that I was able to figure out that one of you would do this type of thing. I could see the people, I could tell people's personalities. So what was he trying to do with that kind of thing? That's all I know. What was he trying to do? You see, now take a look before also. Before also is an interesting thing. It says, Vayeshu Lefono. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayeshu Lefono Habchor Kivchor Raso Vatzor Kitzi Raso. Vayismu Anashim Isha Re'eh. He sat them down in order of their age. So, yeah. It says Rashi's Makabigvir. There Rashi's Makabigvir occurring. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. You see, and he says, and then he had them in the Chinkurim. Okay, so and once he got to Binyamin, he says he doesn't have a mother. I don't have a mother. They used it together. So it says Vayismu Hanashim Israel. They were astounded. Can you imagine the people? How could he know this? What about another? What? This is suspicious. But why did he do it? Why did he do it? What was he trying to do with it? That's what I want to know. What was the purpose of doing that? On the contrary, in a way, he's damaging the whole thing, the whole plot, because he's giving something away. I mean, they would never figure out it was him. They would never see. You have to realize that when you read it, when you read the parasha now, you can't divert out the things from the frame of mind of them, because you know the answer. You know, it was Yosef. You know the whole story. You have to realize for them that was an utter impossibility that this should be Yosef. It's impossible. The Sheni Lamalch in Egypt is impossible. It's ridiculous. Well, yeah, they knew it's impossible. So he wasn't, but he didn't, so he was trying to give them some kind of a notion that he has some kind of a superior knowledge, I mean, whether mystical or whatever. What was the purpose of doing that? What was the purpose of doing it? Everything he did was a psychological reason. What was the reason for that? Yeah. And it's a pasuk. I mean, imagine you could say, okay, I don't know what the Medrash means, but it's a pasuk. Vayeshu Lefono. Vayismu Anashim Yishar Eyo. One looked at the other. What is this? How can he know this? What do you think? Yeah. So Yosef knew one thing. He knew that the Melech is always the father figure. This is a fact, in a dream. A person has a dream, and he dreams of the king, the president. It's always a representative of the father figure. And this is something which stems from the unconscious mind of a person. Now Yosef knew that this was the case. And the father is always associated with a kind of omniscience. Father is always associated with this. He knows everything. A child at a certain point thinks that his father knows everything. Okay, usually the father tries to endorse that. Tries to extend it beyond the time where it's useful. But Yosef knew He knew that emotion. He knew that idea, that concept. And what he was trying to do was, he was trying to recreate the same scene that existed between his father and he and his brothers. And the scene was that they were jealous of him. Why were they jealous of him? Why? Because they wanted something that every person wants very dearly, and that is the approval and the recognition of the father. Something that every person wants and very, very seldom gets. Okay? That's why I remember, what's the whole thing with Kirk Douglas wrote a book? What's the name of the book? Look, the Red Man Song or something? Red Man Song. What is it? In the book, he constantly laments over the fact that he could never get his father's approval. And he's always trying to get his father's approval, could never get it. A lot of people, you see famous people write about this. Cary Grant, I think, said it. Cary Grant is the most enjoyable.